This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlot. Joshua Landis, Rebecca Cruz, welcome back. We are going to take advantage of your presence today and talk about Syria. It's been a while.
It's
been a while since we've had an update on Syria. And boy, there's a lot to discuss. I mean, where are we right now? We know that, or do we know that the Syrians have used chemical weapons? Are there markers there? What do we know about that?
There's one major incident outside of Aleppo, the northern city, a small town. Some kind of chemical was used, frothing at the mouth, so forth. There seems to be fairly a growing consensus that sarin gas was used. 10 people died. Does this cross the red line?
That's well, who
the big
used them?
Question.
Do we know who used them?
We're
Are
not
we pretty
positive,
sure that it was the regime that used them?
We're not positive, but it would seem safe to say. The trouble is, Obama has used the fact that we don't really know in order to kick the can down the road a little bit because he does not want to get involved and drag America into an invasion of Syria. Because in order to get chemical weapons out of Syria, we don't know exactly where they are. They're scattered around the country in air bases. So to send men in white suits into Syria to sort of knock on doors and say, where are the chemical weapons? We need to gather them. You would need to take out first their air power. That would require destroying much of the Syrian military as well as their air force in order that our troops can wander around Syria looking for chemical weapons and taking it out of their bases. So then you get in. And then once you've destroyed the Syrian military, you're in Iraq in a sense because
– it's Iraq all over again.
There's no state. And what happens when chaos breaks out and people begin stripping out copper wire from every office and so forth and looting? We were criticized in Iraq because we only had 100,000 troops to protect an entire country. In Syria, it just opens up the doors. Now, what is going on in Syria is a tragedy. The government is brutal. This is a sectarian civil war, and increasingly Islamist forces are gaining the upper ground amongst the rebels. The biggest, best fighters.
So meaning the Islamists are gaining ground. So of all the rebel fighters, so tell us, who are these people, the rebel fighters? This is not a consolidated group.
No.
And you say Islamists are getting the upper hand here, meaning that what exactly
there
could
are over 1,000 militias by most estimates operating in Syria. That's because as this revolt has gained ground and the government has lost big hunks of the country, every neighborhood is putting together a militia because there's no law. So somebody goes out with his brothers and his cousins and gets guns and tries to advertise himself as a militia and raises money. This is a free enterprise situation where Gulfies from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, other places, Islamic countries around the world are donating money and sending in arms. And every little militia that announces itself of 20 guys or 30 guys uploads YouTube videos of them blowing things up and says, send in money. They put a little donate tab on the side of their video and says, we're going to take down this regime. This is jihad. Send in money.
And this is working for them.
It's working. And there is money coming in from donations of all kinds. And so militias are forming. They're raising money through this because the Gulf Sunni countries want to see this Shiite government that's allied with Iran taken down. So there are many countries with a strategic interest in overturning this government.
And they're just arming and funding everyone possible that they can find.
Well, there are all kinds of different people who have different interests.
And exactly. So they're finding anybody and they're arming them and funding them to fight the regime because that's the goal, is to get rid of the regime. But then what?
Well, that's the problem. And in the north and east of the country where the government no longer holds sway, we have widespread looting, warlordism. Different militia leaders need to pay their men and they don't have money. So they put up roadblocks. Then they start levying money from people. There's been tons of kidnapping. All kinds of people, especially the wealthy, have been kidnapped. Factories have been stripped and the stuff has been sold off in order to raise money. So this is, this is L.A. riots gone berserk. I mean, unfortunately, that's the situation. You don't have a central government, and that's the worst of all worlds in many ways. Now, part of the reason there isn't a central government is because the civil war is ongoing. So a lot of rebel leaders say the West should really just arm us up so we can take out this government because then we can get to the next stage.
How do we know who to arm, though, Joshua? I think that's the bigger issue. If we have all these different groups and we are talking, you know, Obama is at least considering arming the rebels, which rebels?
Well, there are people who've been talking with America and that's been working with the CIA for well over a year. And there is a Syrian opposition coalition that's put together in Doha with American help and a high military command. The trouble is the leader of this high military command, General Idris, that John Kerry, Secretary of State, have met and others, they don't really command troops. They want money and arms so they can buy the loyalty of various militias. That's what they've been doing. So it's a rent-a-militia situation. And you're not getting loyalty. This isn't about an ideology. This is about patronage. And that's what America has done in Afghanistan and Iraq. It's about bringing in money, buying patronage. The trouble is, as soon as you leave.
Well, it's like the worst of all possible outcomes.
It's spending tons of money and you know, according to
tons of money and leaving weapons behind and not knowing the heck is going to happen afterwards. So, I mean, we keep waiting for the good news here. I mean,
it's difficult. This is a country in the midst of a civil war, and Syria was patched together by the French, drawn borders around people who didn't want to live together, and the world just expected them to get along. Well, lo and behold, they're not getting along and they're in a desperate fight, which is a zero-sum game for whoever the losers are going to be. So America wants to get in there and say, hold on, we're going to have a power sharing and set up. In order to stop this, you need to find a way forward. And in Yugoslavia, we divided the country into five or so different states. I mean, you can tell me better than – but the answer was division. In the American Civil War.
It was shared governance. I mean, you're talking about Bosnia, basically, where you have shared governance in Bosnia between the different parties.
But you've got a Croatia. You've got Slovenia.
Those are separate countries.
Yugoslavia was divided into all these separate countries.
They declared
independence, yeah.
They did. But America and Europe swept in and confirmed that and didn't let one militia try to conquer them all.
So they should just fight it out. You should just have a winner like you do, you know, boxing match.
The American Civil War was won that way, right? You know, there was a long march to the sea and 750,000 Americans were killed. Okay,
But the longer that this takes, the harder it's going to be, right, to ultimately resolve this conflict, right? The longer it takes, the more death, destruction, resentment, hatred. I mean, is it not worthwhile to just go in there and fix it?
Well, if you could fix it, it would be worthwhile. Of course, it depends on the price tag and whether
America can afford
to pay.
Well, I guess at least try to fix it sooner than later.
Well, and it's expanding. We know now that the refugee camps, where there's over 25% of the population has left Syria, they're in most of them in these camps,
right.
And we're seeing uprisings there as well. So it is growing beyond Syria, and the concerns continue.
You know, all the others on their borders that are now feeling the effects.
That's the downside, is that this could ignite conflict in other lands. And the trouble is, this conflict has taken on a religious war. I mean, it's becoming Shiites against Sunnis. And for America to get into the middle of a religious war in the Middle East, we don't want to be the leader. We want to have regional powers sorting this out. We can come in behind them, but if we are holding the whole bag, it's expensive and we haven't had great success.
Absolutely. Well, Joshua, thank you for your discussion about this important topic that we continue to watch.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being with you.